This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
What's up? It's your boy, The Ted Smith. Thanks for listening to the Men's Room Daily Podcast. Want more? Check out the greatest podcast in all the land, The Podcast. Be sure to subscribe and listen to a brand new episode every Tuesday night.
The Men's Room returns with Miles and Thrill, 99.9 KISW.
Doing it live! KISW proudly presents Live Day once again, this time solid gold 70s. Yes, bitches, we get to go out and party with you one time, at least before the end of the year. It's going down Thursday, November 18th, Snoqualmie Casino. Both BJ and Megs and our show will be completely live, finally inviting back you to join us as part of a live studio audience. Woo! And believe me, you will be included in our show, from the sound effects to commercials to music. Mm-hmm. There is nothing that's pre-recorded. We do the show live. We read the commercials while we're on the air. Bands play the tunes.
Yep.
We do our program, and you're invited to join us for a little big dummy, so it's going to be a good time. And we'll be celebrating the solid gold 70s. According to them, minus the disco, which kind of bums me out a bit.
I like disco.
I do too. I think it's solid. Problem is, you can't get a disco cover band.
There's got to be one.
Think there's a disco cover band out there?
Oh, I'm sure there is, okay. Man. Come on.
Tickets are on sale now at KISW.com. By the way, you can buy tickets for BJ and Migs in the morning. You can buy tickets if you can get to the afternoon part of the program, or you can buy them for the whole day. They got all kinds of different tiered levels on packages and all that stuff. So check out KISW.com and see how you can get in there. All right, a question. What's your go-to story about your childhood? A four-year-old boy who slipped off a cliff. He fell about 70 feet.
Damn.
And suffered just some scrapes and bruises. This happened in Wolfe County, Kentucky. The boy was hiking with his parents in the Daniel Boone National Forest on Friday afternoon when he slipped away and took a, quote, tumbling fall off of a cliff. During the fall, the boy struck multiple ledges and encountered sheer drops of 30 feet, following 70 feet in total. Well, the father jumped into action. He went down the cliff to reach his son, and then he carried him downhill and toward a highway where search and rescue teams met the duo. Incredibly, while the child was certainly scraped up and bruised, he appeared to be otherwise okay. The search and rescue team said in a Facebook post, he was very talkative and very interested in superheroes. But they said the only superhero present was him. The boy was examined by emergency medical services. He was released back to his parents, the team added, calling the incident nothing short of a miracle.
Yeah, no kidding, man.
Talk about freaking your parents out. Our question, what's your go-to story about your childhood? 206-421-ROCK.
We had a guy who called earlier and said that he and his brother, they're around the age of 10. His mom's a little absent-minded, but like just disrobed in front of him. And he said, like, it's just burning to his head. Somebody here on the comment line, they just went up to him. Says, I walked in on my grandma getting out of the shower when I was 12. She said, quote, oh, no, you saw my little pee. I was mortified.
Ooh. Yeah.
Yeah, grandma.
Don't say anything.
Don't drop the words, man.
My little one.
My little, yeah.
Yeah, little one, right.
I'm sure it was.
You had like eight kids.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Big gaping.
Right, little one, my ass.
That should have been the response. Little my ass. Yeah, exactly. That's huge.
You got 10 kids, man.
Hello, Levi. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitches.
Hola.
So when I was 9 and my little brother was 6, for Christmas we got stick horses, you know, the horse head with the little, on a broomstick.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're downstairs playing in the basement for like 5 minutes before we tear the heads off. And now we're just two boys with sticks. So, sword fighting. So, sword fight for half a minute, and I catch him right in the cheek with the rounded edge because, you know, we're trying to be safe. Nope, goes right through his cheek.
Cut
the
Oh.
Scar to this day. Mom comes running down because he's screaming, bleeding all over the place. And what happened? I look at him and go, oh, he fell off the stairs right onto the stick. Mom grabs him, runs, takes him to the ER, gets him stitched up. 10 years later, I get back from my first year of college, and my brother, we're sitting around for dinner, and my brother goes, "Hey, man, do you tell any stories about me under college?" So I tell that exact story. My mom goes, "What? You didn't tell me that's what happened? You fell off the stairs. You weren't sword fighting. What? Go to your room." And I was like, what?
I'm 20 years old, Bob.
Yeah. So my brother and I, we pick up our hot plates, two bites in, put her, you know, take them to the kitchen, drop them off, and head upstairs.
And just went to your rooms anyway. She was still pissed, huh?
30 minutes later, my dad calls us down and to the formal living room to get a talking to. And we end up sitting across from them. My dad's like, "All right, well, lying's not good, so don't do that anymore." And we're like, "I didn't even remember." And mom's just like, man, she was so high, you could have cooked an egg on her head.
And again, this is 10 years after the fact, or 12 years after the fact, basically, right?
10 years after the fact. I'm 19, he's 16.
I'm always wondering, like, because I know my kids have to get up to no good, because that's what kids should do. And you have siblings, and you can do whatever.
But they haven't really crossed any big lines yet.
That I know of, which was going to be my point. Because the one thing I do try to instill in them is like, look, if I don't know about it, then you're not in trouble. Which means, as my father always said, either be good or be slick. In my mind, they're good. They might just be slick. I don't know. But I'm wondering, how many stories am I going to hear from them, you know, 20 years from now when we sit down and like, "Oh, Dad, remember that time so-and-so happened?" Like, yeah, it was terrible that the squirrel did so. Yeah, it wasn't a squirrel. It was us. And I'm wondering
don't think your wife is keeping anything from you, right? I mean, you don't think it would come to, like, something was so bad, like, we are not telling your father about this.
I don't know, and I'm okay if she does that. Like, we've had this conversation where it's like, look, most of the time, she'll wait 2 or 3 days on certain things, because certain things are a bigger trigger for me than they are for her. And I do the same for them. Like, look, guys, come here. I'm going to have a conversation with you about why this is wrong, but I want you to understand what I'm doing here. I'm going to wait to tell your mother, because this would be one of her triggers, and I'll have to suck you out of the carpet with a wet bag if she finds out. She will murder you, right? So we'll kind of handle it in-house, so to speak. And then you wait about a day or two. I'm like, "Hey, babe, I got something to tell you." And I've already talked to him. I see you getting hostile, and she'll do it with me, where, "Hey, you know, your son got in trouble at school. Hey, what did he do today?" Like, it happened last week. I'm like, "It's that bad?" She's like, "Yeah." And I want to tell you, because you will freak him the hell out. I'm like, "I got you.
I got in trouble." I feel like the stories you tell your parents later generally are teenage years and high school stuff.
I do believe that to be true. I know they're probably...
Mainly because you and your friends have a way to get out of the house because somebody can drive.
There's not a whole lot they can do right now that we won't figure out, but I know it's coming.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
and
well,
I'm just curious how bad it's going to be. Because, like, we already nicknamed them, which is sad, but felony and misdemeanor. Like, "Oh, I think my son will get arrested, but it'll be dumb stuff. Like, he went streaking, or he cannonballed naked into a pool from a hotel balcony. Stuff I don't care about, but you have to say something." My daughter, I feel like if the authorities came to my house, they'd be like, "Listen, it's not just that she did something bad, but we've been running a 3-year sting operation on her. Mm-hmm. And this is all the evidence we have against her. She can either turn state's evidence or go away for 75 years. Like, she's one of Ocean's 11. I just don't know which skill set she brings to the table.
There was a girl, and I think the family was maybe Pentecostal. It's where you have to wear skirts.
Yeah.
Girls had longer hair. Traditionally, they would put it in like one big ponytail or whatever the deal was, or a braid or whatever the deal was. Well, she sat behind me in class, and she got pissed off at me for something. She was really short tempered, but she took her pencil and she stabbed me in the back with it to the point where the pencil went into the middle of my back.
What did you do?
Like a half inch or an inch. I don't know. I just remember going, oh, you know what I mean? I mean, it went through the shirt.
How old were you?
I was probably 9 or 10, right? Either way, they take me to the school nurse. School nurse is like, "All right, we got to take you to the hospital because the pencil broke off in there and the lead is still stuck down in there." My mom picks me up. They take me to the hospital. The doctor tries to get the majority of the lead out. He can't get it all out. It's like, "We can leave it in there, or we're going to have to sedate you and we're going to have to operate it."
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So my mom's like, "No, if it's going to be just fine, leave the lead in the back." But she was mad at me for getting stabbed with a pencil, all right? Like, I had done something wrong.
No, so, we know you. That's what even Ted had to look at his face like, what did you say? What did you say?
I'm not sure. I can't remember. She was one of those people who drew horses. You know what I'm talking about? You know that person, right? So the teacher.
I'm sure you had a smart comeback, or not even comeback, but just let her know that what, she resembled a horse or something?
Yeah. I'm not sure what it was, but I'm sure it wasn't like I was trying to hit on her. You know what I mean? I'm sure it wasn't.
I've seen you try to hit on people, and so, it was rude.
So these
did you hate her?
These desks.
Oh, that was flirting. My bad.
These desks, the way they were old school wooden desks. And you had a sort of like a little bench seat in the front, but the desk of the person behind you was also a part of that furniture.
Right, right, right.
All right? And these desks were so old, I swear to God, Ted, they had a hole for basically you could put a little
inkwell
container. It was an inkwell, right.
All right.
In case you start writing with a quill.
But it was a hole.
Because people that wrote with quills were using these desks before we got to school.
This was how updated the West Virginia school system was. But it was a complete hole in the desk. So after she stabbed me in the back with a pencil, because it was all done alphabetically as far as how you sat in these rows, teacher's like, look, I'm going to switch you two, all right? So she had a last name with an M, I had an M. So now I am behind Kim, who had stabbed me with a pencil. And then I slowly unbraided her hair after this, all right? Because it was in like one of those big tight braids. Like she had a braid that was probably stronger than like a, you know, like an Alaskan fisherman's rope.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like this thing was like a big ass hemp, you know what I mean, rope. But I slowly undid it, you know what I mean? And it was long. I mean, it was long. And I tied it in that hole. So when it was time to get up and whatever we were doing, recess, whatever the deal was, and she got up, her head snapped back, and she was stuck, and she fell on her ass. When she fell on her ass, the whole thing just went on the floor, like on its side. And she's laying there, because it was pulling her hair and all that stuff. And I was like, yes, 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 suck it. You know what I mean? Right. Then I got more trouble. I'm like, I just did that because you stabbed me with a pencil.
Right, right, right.
Now I'm in trouble again. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't do anything the first time. I just got stabbed in the back.
You did not just
second,
get stabbed
second
in the
time,
back.
Man. Second time, that was classic. That was good stuff. And I mean, I tied it tight.
Were you guys friends?
Because I was in the. I mean, you know, no, I'm probably
sounds not. Like it.
I mean, we were later in high school and stuff, but I had just gotten into Cub Scouts and Boy Scouts, and we were learning knots. So there's this knot called the Boolan.
You know the Boolan?
Boland.
Boland.
You know the Boland. Yeah, exactly.
Mike's like, oh, if you say it right, yeah.
Yeah.
Right, it's not the Boland, it's the Boland knot.
The Boland knot.
Yeah, not the Boland.
No, I was just saying it like that. From West Virginia, that's how we said it. I'm going to tie me a Boland. You know what I mean? So I tied that damn thing.
Careful how you talk to an Eagle Scout.
And it was tight. It was tight. So even the teacher had a hard time getting the damn thing off of that hole. And I was just like, yes, yes. Then I got sent to the principal's office for the rest of the day. Whenever you get sent to the principal's office, they have to call your parents.
Right, right, right.
Blah, blah, blah. What'd you do? Tied Kim's hair into the desk. And she got up, fell, knocked everything over, and was still stuck to the desk. I mean, to see her fall was still one of the greatest redemption moments of my life. I was like, yes. Because my back still hurt.
Sure, man.
You know, like, it was 2 days after.
You probably shouldn't have said whatever it is you don't remember saying.
But when the light bulb went off in my head, because that damn pigtail was on my desk all the time.
Right.
It was always on my desk. It's like the woman at the sporting event game, and her hair is in your beer, because the beer cups
right,
up.
Right, because
the you're like, oh, come on, lady, get the hair out of my beer, you know? It was kind of like that.
And then they're mad at you.
But it was always in my stuff, so I felt good about that. What is your go-to story about your childhood? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Cody. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitches.
Hola.
Okay, so we'll make this quick. So when I was about 4 years old, this is 1983, it was Christmas Eve. Me and my sister had just received the cliche Christmas Eve gift of pajamas, what every kid wants on Christmas Eve. And unbeknownst to me, one of the pairs of pajamas had got thrown on top of a very large tomcat we had that was sitting on the couch. I proceeded to sit on top of the cat. The cat flew out from underneath and split my lip in two, my upper lip. I still have a pretty good scar to this day. So I remember there being a lot of blood. I remember not being very freaked out, but then I remember seeing my mom, who was losing her mind. Like, absolutely losing her mind.
Is it because your face was so messed up from the cat?
Because my face is bleeding, basically. She walks into the room and sees her kid bleeding all over the Christmas presents, basically. So what I found out just a few years ago from my sister was that my parents had snuck off into the bedroom to have themselves a little bit of a white Christmas. Came back out and basically found their child bleeding all over the living room. And
that's the last thing.
A quick bump into the bedroom, but it didn't quite work out as well as they thought.
Yeah, that would
that's a mood killer,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, it is a mood
what
killer,
a buzzkill,
man.
Huh?
Not exactly. That's the problem with that, man. Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah, when your kid is bloody, it's just... I told my daughter, she got one of those American Girl dolls, which we, you know, people always say, what did she get for Christmas or the birthday? And I'm like, I don't care. You can buy her a goddamn head of lettuce. She's a kid. She doesn't know. But do me one favor. Do not, under any circumstances, get one of those American Girl dolls. And Miles, you tipped me off to said, like, look, they're stupid expensive, but then they send catalogs, not to you, but directly to the kid.
Every month.
And it has all these clothes.
Oh, my God.
The way they charge for these clothes is that, like, you're buying clothes for an actual child, right? Like, I'm not spending $50 on a freaking dress, whatever. So she got the American Girl doll. She got one that looks like her. It was about the same height as her at the time. And I remember going to bed, I'm shutting off all the lights in the house, and there, laying face down, splayed in the middle of the hallway, is my daughter. And I cannot explain the adrenaline rush that hits me where I'm shaking. There's already, like, tears in your eyes. And I fly down the hall because she's, like, out, man. It does not look natural. It does not look right. I immediately grab my daughter, realize it is not my daughter. It is her goddamn American Doll girl that has been left face down in the middle of the hall. I felt bad for my daughter because I'm definitely over it. Like, I woke her up, flipped on her light. I'm like, hey, you see this doll? And, like, she's cobwebs in her eyes. Like, I'm like, do not ever leave it goddamn face down in this hallway again. Like, yeah, okay, well, I don't know why. I'm like, I thought it was you.
At least it's not a brick and mortar. When my kids were younger, so I can't remember whose kid it was first, but there was this place at the mall called Build-A-Bear.
Oh, Jesus, yeah.
And Build-A-Bear had all the different costumes. Yeah. Basically, they would stuff the bear there. They had a stuffing machine.
I think it still exists.
I guess Build-A-Bear's still real, right?
Yeah. Okay. I've avoided that with my kids, thank God. I think someone, like their grandparents, stuck them or something.
Birthday party at the mall. You know what I mean? Mm. This one starts out. Build-A-Bear. All right? Everybody builds a bear. Whatever. So then my daughter goes, I want a Build-A-Bear birthday party. All right, fair enough. It's the same group. It's the same class. It's the same kids. My daughter goes there for her birthday party. You get a couple pizzas. You sit in the food court. You feed the kids. You go to Build-A-Bear. The next birthday party was another one of her friends.
Oh, God.
Where does she want to go for her birthday? Four in a row. Four birthday parties in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And they were all at Build-A-Bear. And this was a mall that had nothing for me.
Right.
You know what I mean? There was nothing like, well, I'll just go into the Best Buy and check out, you know, electronics or whatever. Like, this mall,
Hot Topic, you know, Forever 21.
Marley Mall. Yeah, you know, other than, you know, maybe a barbecue joint. There's really nothing in there that I want to check out. So it was just, it sucked. And the parties were like an hour and a half, and you just sit there, and you had to pay for the bear. I mean, it was too expensive for the person throwing the party. So
you can't afford everyone's bear.
Right, you got it.
Yeah, you got to pony it up, man. It ended up being like $60 every time. And that's not including the gift that we got for the kid.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it was just like, man, I would rather have American Doll just delivered to the house.
Than have to go through that.
Then go through the Build-A-Bear experience again.
Yeah, my kids, luckily, they're getting at the age where the birthday parties are not quite as agonizing. But I couldn't even fake it, man.
You know what I mean? You guys do parent-themed birthday parties.
No.
So
we do parent-themed, where it's like, and this is how we set it up with the kids. Like, look, we'll throw you a big-ass party. You can invite all your friends. But understand, all the adults are staying, too, because we have a lot of booze.
Mm-hmm.
So we just turn it into a giant party. And, of course, you sing happy birthday. Let them do the gifts. But that's what we do at our place, because I, no offense, Mike, hate kids' birthday parties. And it's nothing against kids. It's just, like you said, nothing for an adult, man. Yeah. I don't feel like having a pool party because we're not in the pool. The kids are all I do is smell chlorine in a really humid room.
Like, you guys are really selling me on birthday parties over here.
Yeah, look,
you're the kid.
If it's your birthday party.
Great.
Okay, yeah, I mean, I never minded the pool party as an adult for my buddy's kids, but like Bernie would always do it at the pool. But Bernie would also bring two coolers full of beer.
Yeah, that's
a pizza party.
The difference.
That's
and
fine.
I can't say a lot. So, you know, among your kids' friends. They have friends where you're also pretty tight with their parents. So when one of their kids is like having a birthday party, I'm like, oh, the little George is turning 4 years old. Absolutely be there. Because we're drinking whiskey. I mean, we're smoking weed. And the kids have a great time. We have a great time. Not all of the parents are like that. Some of them are, well, there won't be any alcohol. I'm like, I don't want to go.
The best one.
I went to a 3-year-old birthday party a couple months ago. It was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Got a bubble machine that was a big hit
with
the kids.
Sweet.
And then
bubbles are like currency.
Yeah, we had like two or three coolers full of beer.
Again, that's it. That's all you
have to do.
Because now your kid gave us an excuse to throw a party. I don't mind that. But man, some places I'm like, oh my God, I don't
know. The two coolest birthday parties. There was a movie theater in Annapolis, Maryland. And they would rent out the entire movie theater for your party.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they didn't have any seats in there. It was all couches. They had like video games that you could play before the movie started. So it was like a party room. But it wasn't, the movie theater seats were not in there.
Right.
and you got to pick the movie that the kids wanted to see. They bring in pizza, chicken wings, they bring in beer for adults and all that stuff. So, like, I was like, all right, I can deal with this.
You can deal with it.
And the other one was a place in Columbia, Maryland. It was like this giant trampoline room.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking like big ass rectangular where you could bounce from platform to platform.
There's one south of here.
Kids would fly through the air, man. And that was cool watching these kids just fly through the air and knock into each other and stuff.
The problem is, as an adult, I couldn't get on the trampoline. So
no, you're not allowed as an adult if the kids are having the party.
That's why I have the wife. You can take them to the trampoline party if you would like. I'm not going.
Laser tag's pretty fun.
Laser tag's cool.
Yeah.
What's your go-to? But you wouldn't know any of that, Mike, would you?
No.
What's your go-to story about your childhood? 206-421-ROCK.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
99.9 KISW. Yay! You're in the men's room.
Still to come, the return of Who Sucks Less right after emails on our question, what is your go-to story about your childhood? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Dylan. Welcome to the men's room.
Boo, bitches.
Boo!
All right, so I was in first grade. Had the bright idea to run underneath the kid that was swinging at daycare. Uh-huh. And on my way through, I got kicked in the back of the head and went face first into the ground. And the whole right side of my face looked like ground beef.
Ooh, how bad did the, how long did all the scarring and everything else last on your face?
I don't remember having any actual scarring. It wasn't like super deep. I didn't get impaled with anything. My face just hit like that compact dirt and rock mixture that was, you know, underneath where the kids stop with their feet.
Yeah, we didn't have that. We had asphalt.
Yeah. Did you learn not to run under people swinging?
Yeah, it was the last time I did that.
Okay.
I learned the same thing about not standing behind someone on the swing set. Same general thing.
Yep.
I'm just not thinking. I'm talking to my buddy, and we literally just moved out of the way of someone else. This girl is swinging back on the downswing, mm-hmm. right? So her back's to me. I don't see her coming, and I turn around. I just remember her silhouette, and within half of a second, I felt her shoes in my face, and it hurt.
Yeah, my buddy Brett. Our thing was, we get two or three guys, and we were trying to get Brett. Brett always wanted to go all the way up and over the top.
Right, right. It was always the goal.
Wrap the chains around the top, you know, come back down the other side. I mean, exactly what you think happened. He got to the top and fell right down on that bar and smacked his head.
Oh!
And dropped off. Like, he got to the crest of the top. You know what I mean?
It just fell straight up.
Gravity took over. There's not enough push. We were close. And all of a sudden, man, he just fell, man. It was like, ah! Oh, man.
I never saw anybody go do a full rotation. We definitely used to get a lot of height and jump off, and you'd see people get hurt just because they would jump off at, like, mm-hmm. the highest height they could.
Our monkey
that
bars.
That was always the goal, man. I mean, the whole thing, especially as boys. We had one girl, she was scared to do anything, and she's on the swings, and she's getting some height, and we're pushing her, and we're kind of encouraging her. It was right before school opens for the day, but we're on to something, right? Real cool girl, just, she was scared of everything. So she finally gets the adrenaline going, man, she's feeling good on the swing, and we're like, all right, man, jump, jump. Well, she jumped. She cleared the whole goddamn sandpit thing, crashed down on the asphalt, and mm-hmm. we all got in trouble. And we weren't like teasing her or anything. I mean, honestly, right. God, look, come on, man, just do it. Just do it. I think she had great ups. Really, hey, man, none of us have ever jumped that far, but
none of us will try.
But now we know not to.
Tell you what, man, that playground was a dangerous place growing up. I remember the times the ambulance really came to our school was always somebody really messing themselves up on the playground.
Oh, yeah, well, everything was made out of steel. What's the thing? It looks like half a geodesic dome, kind of.
Right. You kind of crawl up that thing. Kind of looks like the Amazon balls.
Right. And I remember slipping on the top of that. I was just talking to two of my friends. We were literally just talking. And I don't know what gave, but I just fell through. And I feel like I hit every goddamn bar on the way down. I
mean, smack your chin.
Because I can remember hearing the ting, 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 ting. And I realized that sound, that's my face.
What is your go-to story about your childhood? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Danny. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
So, I'm Italian, and therefore, when I was younger, I was forced to go to Catholic school on Wednesdays, before Mass on Sundays, all that. And at some point, I kind of got kicked out. I, you know, stopped believing in it. But my brother still did. And we fought a lot. He's 2 years younger than me. So, what I did is I took a piece of paper, and I wrote, I hear
myself. Wait, wait.
Oh, hold on. Your phone just completely dumped out on us.
Okay.
And it still is.
Well, still bad.
Yep. Nope.
Hello.
Yeah, there he is. Now we got you. Okay, so go back to the beginning.
Jump my headphones. So, anyways, I at some point got kicked out of Catholic school, but my brother still like believed, and we would fight a lot. So, I took a piece of paper and I wrote, "I hereby sell my soul to the devil. This contract is binding and cannot be voided in any manner." I folded it in half. And I went, "Hey, Nick, I want to see your signature." And I made him sign the piece of paper. Then I unfolded it and showed him it. And yeah, obviously, I got in a lot of trouble for that. He started crying. You ran into my mom. Like,
I'm gonna
going to hell for that.
I sold my soul to the devil.
Probably going to hell.
Psychologically, when you go to Catholic school, you go to hell too. Age, that scares the living hell out of you.
Yeah, yeah. We laugh about it because we're both atheists, but I mean, at the time, let's just say my mom thinks that I'm evil, or told my dad that she thought I was evil.
Well, did you end up being a pretty good kid after all?
I turned out all right.
I think the question to ask people, honestly, did you turn out to be an okay adult? You know, because like you go from a child to being a teen, and rarely do you improve as a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's like you were saying, Ted, like, well, now I'm old enough to kind of get out of the house and do things, and definitely a lot worse. I think I'm an okay adult. Okay at best, but definitely better than I was as a child or teen.
I will say, I think puberty makes a huge difference, though. I just didn't talk a lot in grade school.
Right.
Then I got to high school and finally went, or right before high school, finally went through puberty, and then, you know, as Miles, I'm not making fun of you, but like, right, I was class president because I was popular.
Yeah.
But that's
that's half that stuff. Yeah. Student government, all that things. It's a popularity contest for the most part.
Well, generally.
Yeah.
Well, that, and I still stand by this, I brought a go-go back to Nevada.
Did you really?
I did. We hadn't had one in 20 years because of violence and stuff.
How did your go-go go?
Oh, great. We had security, and me and some of the other guys, we were running everything, and so security left over. They left the stuff that they had confiscated. So we had a great night.
I see.
On the way. How much stuff did they confiscate?
You know, I mean, look, we were seniors in high school. So, like, remember the little Jack Daniel's sippers?
Mm-hmm.
So there were some of those. There was like a bottle of Mad Dog. Just kind of like stupid stuff like that.
But they left it for you guys. Well, not for you guys, but
right,
because
after the go-go, like the teachers or whatever were charged kind of left, and they're just security guys, and they're like, we don't know what to do with this stuff. We were like, do not worry. We will give this back to the faculty.
Take care of it.
Yeah. And it was like, hey, Weave, get your car.
Right.
What's your go-to story about your childhood? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Darla. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
How's it going?
Doing great, Darla. Thanks.
So I have a story from when I was in high school.
All right.
Okay. So I was a junior in high school, and I ended up dating the rival team's quarterback of their football team. And my mother decided that she didn't want me dating him anymore after we got in the throw of that car accident. But, you know, that kind of doesn't work when your mom tells you not to date this person.
Mm-hmm.
So my best friend and I, we decided that we were going to go up and on the weekend go and see him and his best friend, which they lived north of us, and go and hang out with them. And, of course, we got pulled over by the cops drinking a little bit and ended up in the police station. And we thought, well, we're going to call her mom because her mom was a lot cooler than my mom. My mom was pretty strict. And they were about 25 miles away from where we lived. So we're sitting there, and I'm sitting on my boyfriend's lap, who happens to have this big, huge hickey on the side of his neck at the time. The guy I'm not supposed to be seeing. And, of course, her mom pulls up with my mom sitting in the passenger.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it was not a pretty 25 miles home with my mother sitting there not saying one word on the way home. And her mother sitting there, I'm not supposed to swear, so I can't tell you what she was saying on the way home to my best friend. But I am telling you what, that was the absolute worst thing that ever happened when I, well, not the worst, but one of the things that I always show to is, it was a long story, but when you can't, you know, they're sitting there told not to see somebody, and they end up showing up at the police station, and there you're sitting with them. It's like, my
well,
mom.
Well, they know damn well what you're up to.
And when you're that young, the feelings seem to be stronger because you never really had them before.
Oh, God, yeah.
You know,
this is it.
It's a different world. If you break up with someone, it's like your life is over. Where now it's just like, yeah, we just weren't right for each other.
Yeah, right. Just move on.
It's not that we don't like each other. It's not the right people to be
together.
We're
still friends.
Yeah, it's not a big deal. It's just like, this is not working.
Hey, Darla, let me ask you this. When is the last time, what age were you the last time you had a hickey visible on your body?
Well, you don't know how old I am, but probably about, unfortunately, in my 40s, and it was unintentional.
What? Did you get a divorce?
How do you get? Who were you kissing that they unintentionally left? Are you dating squirrels or something?
Well, it was an old boyfriend of mine that thought that it was funny to do that.
Oh.
And just, it was one of those things to where it was like, yeah, you know what? Let's just do this and make it look like it's funny. And it's like, no, this is not funny. This is not funny. No. So that was it. That was the last one, though, and it was like, I've always been very aware. It's like, yeah, don't be putting that effing hickey on my neck or anywhere else that's visible, because it's like, that's just not.
What about your inner thigh? Nobody knows it's there.
A bruise.
Just a reminder.
Hey, I don't kiss and tell.
All right,
okay, good for you, darling.
I'm saying there was a time in your life where hickeys were just commonplace. All your buddies.
The same girl always had them. Same guy always had them.
Right, man. But you know what it was, man? This is what bugged me. So by the time I got a hickey, everyone else had been through the hickey moment. But to me, it's like looking at Ohio State and all the Buckeye stickers they put on the helmet. Right?
Oh, yeah.
You're a really good player. So like this ugly dude with the 15 hickeys on his neck, I'm like, yeah, but he's doing all right, man.
It was like branding a cow or putting a ring on a finger. You know what I mean? Like, you didn't have any
this
real
hickey's
way to.
Mine.
Like, if you saw someone with a hickey, you just
they're
knew
spoken for.
That they're spoken for.
Right.
That's exactly what it was. You know what I mean? It was.
I couldn't afford the ring, so I gave her a hickey.
I think I had to be around 30 last time I got one, and the person was like, I am so sorry.
Yeah, I mean, there's a certain age you're like, hey, man, this isn't cool.
Was it a biter who accidentally just got a little
place?
Yep, that's
they don't know what they're doing.
I know.
What's your go-to story about your childhood? 206-421-ROCK.
It's a bite me.
Hello, Sean. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
So, I'm in fifth grade. And I'm going to school at Crystal Springs Elementary in Bothell. And I decide that we have a substitute teacher, and I decide that, you know, enough's enough. We're not going to take this from her. She's not our teacher. And I proceed to get the whole class to follow me out to recess all day and just mutiny against her. And apparently they found her hiding under her desk, having a mental breakdown from this.
Wait, did you do something other than lead the kids out of the classroom?
No, I stood up. I said, we don't have to take this. She's not our teacher. Let's go to recess. And we all just left, and apparently she had a breakdown over it.
Did you feel kind of bad about that?
You know, I was in fifth grade, man.
So, no.
Yeah,
no.
That's got to be one of the hardest jobs.
A substitute teacher?
Absolutely. You're going to get a last-minute call. It's going to be early in the morning or late at night. You know what I mean? Like, you might be out with your friends drinking or whatever, and you get a call that, hey, you need to be here, at, you know, which means you're going to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning. You're going to drive to a school you don't know. The teacher, if this was an emergency situation, you are not aware of what the curriculum was, what it is.
Sure.
You're filling in
it's
for
ditto day.
All kinds of different subject matters, different grades. You don't know anybody.
But
you know
certain
what I mean?
Substitute teachers. We, in high school, we had a guy, he's pretty much the go-to, Mr. Barlow. And Mr. Barlow, I can't even tell the story anymore on these airwaves, but he was so tough and so mean and so terrifying. And I was in the class of like the misfits, for lack of a better term. You did not mess around in this class. He would tell you exactly what he expected of you at the beginning, right? And if you stepped out of line, dude, the justice was swift. It was physical. He did not care. Because, you know, in high school, everyone's a tough guy and all that. You weren't. With Mr. Barlow, like, all of your ego went away. Because this guy, like, he looked at you like he wanted you to do something stupid. Like, he wanted to jump
like,
over.
Test me.
Oh, and you could tell because this is a dude that grew up in the hood, and now he's teaching a bunch of other cats from the hood. He wasn't scared of us. He ain't worried about you. So whatever kind of crap you talk, like this dude, Mr. Barlow, I get a feeling he's old, like, when he was born, I bet you didn't cry. Like, get me the F out of here.
Yeah.
But we had this one substitute team. We had never seen him before. And this is just homeroom, man. He only had to put up with 12 minutes of our class. But the class, for whatever reason, they just smelled weakness on this guy, right? So and I don't remember what we were doing, but he got to the point. Remember, he had the intercom in the classroom. You could pipe down to the principal or whatever. So this guy, he's fed up with us, all right? And again, this is just homeroom. Mm-hmm. It's only 12 minutes of us. About 6 minutes in, like, I'm done with you, mother effer. I mean, just goes off on us. Didn't care. Class still keeps coming back out. So he grabs the intercom. I can't remember the principal's name, but you hear the principal. I'm done with this goddamn class. Believe it or not, we were class 9-11. But he's like, I'm done with this. You got to transfer me to a different classroom, blah, blah, blah. The principal finally concedes and says, all right, man, we'll move you to a different room. So basically, this guy, like, flips us off. He hates us. But the class is digging into him, all right? So whatever, they bring in basically the equivalent of Mr. Barlow, but it was not him, just for like the last 4 minutes of homeroom. That's it. Our first period class was across the hall. And as always, I was one of the last guys to ever get up because I hated school. But I hear my class going across the hall, and I hear there's all these cheers, just yeah, and I have no idea what's going on. I walk across the hall. That dude that wanted to get out of homeroom, well, guess what? He's taking over for Mr. Wickham, who's our first period class. He just got our ass for 50 minutes. I felt so bad for this guy by the end of the 50 minutes. He made it worse by getting out of homeroom, flipping us off, and then the first period, now he got us for 50 minutes. Those kids,
you also been their kids, but
never saw him again. Dude.
You don't understand. Like, now, my homeroom was 25 kids in high school.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like four or five homerooms. Five of those guys were in my class. They did hard time. Like, I mean, they were incarcerated for a number of years for a variety of different things. But
just after when the you're, fact, right?
Yes, yes. Yeah, when they're adults. But it's still the same person.
It's the same
kid. It's the same tiger. It's the same stripes. You know what I'm saying? You think you're just taking care of kids, but you don't realize, like, all these kids aren't going to be doctors. You know, they're not going to be, like, nurses and things that are important. You know, like, a lot of these kids, they were bad, but they were always bad.
Right.
You know? We were all bad, but they were bad. Right. But, I mean, you don't know the level of how bad the other people are. Until you get
that's
old.
It,
and you're like, oh man,
like ours was easy. Is we just had like we had a couple people that worked at the school,
yeah,
and then would be substitutes,
okay.
But one of them was he was like an offensive line football coach, so like
he didn't want to mess with him.
Oh no, but he was cool too. Like sometimes
because you already knew him,
right? And if you had enough football players in the class, especially if you were like a freshman or sophomore, he'd be like, let's break down some plays. And then other students who like weren't working on plays or learning X's and O's, they would just have private study, which basically he would give them something, they'd read it. But it was
right.
It was always very chill. But if he showed up with a video player, we knew it was
on. Oh, yeah.
There was other teachers, like if you had a real teacher, right, it's a private school. So if you had a real teacher having a substitute for you, that sucked. Because they're pissed they're missing lunch. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But when this guy showed up, he showed up with that video screen like, oh, we're watching some type of sport.
We got to listen to Eddie Murphy's Delirious and, I can't remember the name
Raw.
Of the class. It was right before Raw. And he was a substitute teacher. And everyone walked into the class. And everyone was decent. We're in eighth grade at this point. He's like, y'all know Eddie Murphy? We're like, well, of course we know Eddie Murphy. He's like, you guys seen Delirious? And a few kids have, but like there was so much cursing and that stuff. At that age, we're all like, dude, our parents are like, hell no. And he's like, I got the cassette. He played, man, we closed the doors. That we had the best time. I mean, it was the funniest. It's like, now listen, y'all, you can't tell anybody. We're like, mum's the word. Every time that guy came to the school, we're like, yeah, my man. He plays something different for us.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It is.
Right, and it's a substitute teacher.
He doesn't
You're not
care.
Getting anything done.
Right.
What's your go-to story about your childhood? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Evan. Welcome to the men's room.
Good day, gentlemen.
Good day.
It's going great. Okay, so my story.
This was about 1990, 91. I was about 5 years old at the time. St. Paul Children's Museum had this, like, really amazing TV studio set up for the kids. I take to the anchor seat and completely unprompted declare the war in the Gulf is a real mother blanker.
Oh, Jesus.
All right.
They did not have a dump button.
Oh, no, man.
So what did that go over? Did that go over the whole museum?
I vaguely remember it may have, but I'm not sure.
Okay. It did. I'm sure it did.
It probably did. Well, I mean, enough people heard it. I got picked out of the chair pretty quickly by the friend's parents who had brought us there and whisked away.
Yeah, funny how that works. Mm-hmm. Drop one mother effer.
Well, you know you heard it from somebody else to be able to say it.
Which wasn't wrong.
I mean, like, yeah, exactly. I mean, you go home and your dad's like, yeah, I shouldn't have said that.
My bad. Yeah, yeah. My bad.
What is your go-to story about your childhood? We've got your emails coming up next from the men's room at KISW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.